Blog Talk Radio.
A man decides after 7 years, that's what he goes there for, to unlock the door. Well, those around him criticize and flee.
Welcome everybody to Vibe Time with Jerry, and I have two special guests holding right now. I've got Kat, and Kat, I don't want to mess up your last name, so I'm so sorry. I just don't know why I can't pronounce things properly, and Howie Odell. They are off of the Orion Effect, which their shows are on every Sunday, and that's from Rick Radio Network. So I have them holding, but I have a couple little announcements to make this evening. As y'all know, you've heard seeing me do live feeds on the event that's going to be occurring at the Cabin on 360 this coming up weekend. I'm going to be doing readings there from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., and those tickets are still available. They're $20, which, you know, I'm going to be doing readings, oracle cards, aura work, Reiki, spirit readings if they happen to step out. So I'm going to be doing that type of stuff from 4 to 7 o'clock. And then from 7 to 1 a.m. is going to be actually investigating the Cabin on 360, the woods, and the Brick Rancher next door. And those tickets are, I believe they're either $30 or $40, but you can go on my link that I posted or even on the Cabin on 360's page and look at that particular event for this Saturday. All that, all the money that we make off of that, the proceeds goes to Sawyer Perkins, who is a 10-year-old she's having surgery really as we speak. So all those proceeds go to her because, you know, her family, just every little bit helps. So we're looking forward to that event. And I know a lot of people, there's going to be some special guests there as well. So next week on Vibe Time with Jerry, Charlie, she's a paranormal investigator, Kylin, I hope I'm saying that right, or Kayleen, please, if I'm saying that incorrect, please correct me. She's a paranormal investigator. She'll be on the show next week, so I'm looking very forward to that show as well. So tonight I have Howie and Kat, and for those of you that are watching, most of y'all that are on my feed right now know who they are. So I'm not going to do like a big, very big intro on them because we're just going to go right into talking. But they do have their own podcast on Sunday nights, amongst other things. So they got a lot going on. So I am going to unmute, and I hope I unmuted the right people. I shall find out. Hello, are y'all there?
I'm on. This is Kat.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
My last name is pronounced Gagnon.
Gagnon. Okay. I have a friend
with that. So basically,
exactly
how it's.
Okay. I just, you know me. I'll get nervous, and then I can botch your name in like 5 seconds.
You know what? Everybody does. They could Gagnon. Gagny, I don't know why they call it Gagny. It's not even close to how it's spelled, but, you know, hey, whatever. It's all good.
Yeah, I don't mean to. So I was like, I don't want to mess it up. So I'll just say Kat to make it easier on my brain. Probably didn't mess up Howie's name. Because I'm good for doing stuff like that.
Right.
Now, I think Howie's on, aren't? Are you on, Howie? I took you off of mute.
Hello, dear. Hitman in the house.
How are you?
I'm doing good, Dawn. Yeah, I'm here at work, so if I step away, it's all cat's floor.
Okay. That works for me. Now, y'all two run a really good show Sunday night.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
It's awesome. I enjoy it. I'm used to getting up early, but I'm not used to being required to go somewhere. So I try to stay awake for stuff, and then I end up falling asleep, and I don't mean to, but I'm just trying to, like, get into the swing of a schedule because I've only been back at a job for 3 weeks now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm trying to adjust to that. So that's a little difficult. So let me ask y'all something with your show. How long has the Orion Effect been on the air?
Kat's waiting for me to talk, aren't you? You're waiting for me, aren't you?
Well, this is your question, because it's been on longer than I've been around.
The Orion Effect originally was called the Rift Radio, which technically it's been around for 5 years, the show itself. I can change the name from the Rift Radio to the Orion Effect a year after we went on air. So it's been 3 years that it's been the Orion Effect, and the name actually came from one of my universal spiritual thoughts. How I perceive, how I perceive the universe and spiritual interactions here and in the living world. So that's actually where it came from. It's a whole long list of it. I'm not going to define it right now, but that's where it came from. Yep.
You know what, though? I have always wondered where that name came from. So that's really cool because, like, with me writing my book, the title of the book that I'm writing came from spirit. It's not something that came from me. It came from a spirit whispering the title in my ear.
It came through you, right? Yeah. You know what?
It was a whisper.
I don't know if it was best for more if it was a feeling for me, because I originally created the Orion Effect theory 7 years ago, and it's on my Facebook page. They can go into my notes and look at the Orion Effect. And, you know, some people are like, well, that's linked to, you know, retrogrades. It could be linked to universal thought, universal law, universal magic. It could be, you know, it's just my observation. And I'm an Anushian, so knowing the background that, you know, Enoch came from the Orion. So it kind of all kind of fit in. I realized a while back when, holy crap, the puzzle, it all came together. So, yeah, that's how it actually came to be, and it was kind of I was kind of led, you know, of making this. So, and I am so thankful to have Kat as my co-host and my partner in life right now. I've had some incredible.
Oh, of course,
honey. Come on. I've had some incredible co-hosts in the past. John Covey. I've had Dr. Dawn. She's changed her name now, and I don't remember what it is now. Ariana Terry. You know, I've had some really Aaron Smurl. I've had incredible co-hosts, but Kat just I kind of pushed her into it, but then she kind of sat down, and I'm like, yep, now we're here. What you gonna do?
That's right. Yeah, she is a really good co-host. I think that's really cool. Kat, I guess my question for you is, do you paranormal investigate too? Because I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, I was on a paranormal team in New Hampshire, where I'm from, before coming out here.
Okay.
So I've been doing paranormal probably since 2012.
Right back.
That's a long time.
That I've been actually on a team, yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time. I'm with the paranormal investigations, like with, you know, going with different groups of people, you know, like for instance, going on the cabin on 360 this weekend, it's still, all that is still fairly new to me because I was, you know, used to doing a lot of things on my own.
it's kind of cool to have a team.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I said it's really great having a team. I enjoy being on a team because you can throw ideas off of each other. Collaboration is everything in this field, I think.
Right. I agree with you on that. And how long have you been investigating paranormal?
Give me one second. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Oh, he must be on with a customer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Sorry about that, y'all.
That's okay.
That's okay.
I've been in the paranormal majority of my life. So paranormal and spiritually, if you want to say it like that. It's pretty much raised into what we do and how we do things now. So my family was always into the paranormal. My father was an Air Force intelligence officer, and both mother and father were children of Methodist preachers. So, yeah, kind of got put into it, not by choice, but I'm glad I made the choice, or they made the choice for me. Oh, that's a good
right.
way of saying it. Yeah. I'm the one that says the calm one. I'm like the Bugs Bunny rabbit bouncing, you know. I'm not one that bone. I mean, that's just that's kind of how my persona came about too. That's interesting. I really got into it in the early 90s, like 91, 92, through experiences. And then my mentors at Hargrave Military Academy kind of guided me into certain things and certain directions, and then it's just been that way ever since.
That's cool. So you and Kat, y'all do a lot of investigations together. What's one of the most interesting places that y'all have done investigations at?
Kat, I'll come up.
Well, do you mean with Howie or in general?
Well, either in general or with Howie.
Probably at 360 House this past time when we did an investigation there. We had something pretty amazing happen. Unfortunately, I didn't realize at the time how amazing it was because I was convinced that it was a hoax. So I didn't bother turning on my recorder or anything, so that really sucks. But hopefully we can get it to happen again. But we were there to investigate, and it was the first time we were actually investigating the place because normally we just go, we do the show, you know, we talk to them and stuff, but we don't actually record anything or try investigating. So this was actually the first time we were going to investigate it.
I said shameless plug, 360 Cabin.
No. And so we were there with a few other people. Kim and I, Kim, our producer that's usually on our show, her and I were getting our equipment ready. I was changing batteries over and making sure everything that I was going to use had full battery, and then putting the rest of my stuff away. Well, while I'm putting my stuff away, one of my walkies turned itself on.
Oh.
Now, it didn't even make the, you know how when you turn your walkie on, it makes a beeping sound that it's turned on? It didn't even do that. All it started doing was, all you heard was white noise, and then you heard a kid talking. So I thought we were picking up, you know, at first I'm thinking, okay, this is weird. Somehow my walkie got turned on, but maybe we're just picking up a local signal, no big deal. So we just listened for a minute, and then it went from a kid's voice to a man's voice. And it was so much white noise that you couldn't really tell what. And then we got this really, really creepy voice telling us to get out of the house, and we weren't supposed to be there, and they didn't want us there. And now I'm thinking, okay, they went outside just as I was going to be standing in front of my box, and Howie mentioned that the batteries were in front of the box like four times. So I'm thinking he's playing a practical joke on me. He wanted to get me in front of the box. He had already turned the walkie on, and then they waited until I was in front of it to start setting it off. So I'm thinking, yeah. So I say into the walkie, yeah, real funny, guys. And there's no response. The voice just keeps going, nasty stuff. But I'm not listening at this point because I am convinced that this is a hoax they're playing.
Oh, gosh.
So I walk outside to where everybody else is, and nobody has a walkie with them to play the prank.
Oh, gosh.
Never mind talking into it. And this whole way, the talking kept going. All the way to when I got to them, it was still going.
Oh, my gosh.
And Howie heard... Everybody, they all heard it, and it wasn't saying anything very nice. It was saying something to do with death. So Howie took the walkie from me and tried to coax him to talk to him, but it went dead after that. Nothing, no responses, yeah. No nothing after Howie took it. And then, the battery died, which was really weird because the batteries were brand new. So
wild.
The battery died. So I went ahead and I changed the batteries, turned it back on. It was fine. But when I went to shut it off that night, it refused to shut off. I couldn't shut it off.
That's
we
wild.
Weren't getting any more responses from it. We weren't getting any more. There was nothing else coming through it. For the rest of the night, it was the weirdest thing. And of course, after I realized that they weren't playing a trick on me, I really wished I had turned my recorder on and recorded the whole being thing.
Yeah, but maybe they'll do it again for you. I mean, that's like, you know, a lamp coming on. There's no plug. You know what I mean? Like, it's not plugged into the wall.
Exactly. So what we've been doing is, so the next day that we went there, Sunday, because that was on a Saturday, so we were going back on Sunday. Sunday, we went and we turned the walkies, made sure the walkies had fresh batteries, and turned them on. to see if we got anything, like any, you know, cross contamination from, say, a baby monitor or anything like that, if we were picking up random signals from kids, anything like that. We weren't getting anything. We got absolutely nothing the whole day. No, that's not true. We got one lady say hello to us when we first set it up.
Yep.
We heard the kids again, and then it was a lady saying hello, and that was it. We didn't hear anything for the rest of the day. So every time we go there, we've been setting up the walkies to see if we can get it to happen again.
Right. And what part of the cabin is that in?
That was right in the main living room, the main room in the cabin.
Okay.
We were just setting up equipment. We weren't even starting yet.
Right. That's wild because, you know, I'm going to be doing my readings upstairs.
Upstairs on the loft, our dog tends to bark up there every now and then. So that's probably might be a good place for you.
Yeah, I was going to go in the Bordella room and do my readings and set it up as a Reiki room.
That would have been awesome.
That's going to be interesting because I'm going to bring everything as if a person is coming for Reiki, the table, the light fixtures. So, and I am going to run a recorder while I'm doing what I'm doing. I mean, and that's
an awesome
not
idea.
It's not to remember everybody's stuff. That's not what it's for. It's I want to know what is going to be taking place on the spirit side while I'm doing my readings or my Reiki. How are they going to react with the different, like, strobe light in there? Because I have, like, an ocean waves light when I do Reiki for my clients so that they can look up and just kind of relax.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to set it up just like that. The music, I'm going to have the music with me. I'm going to have the incense with me. So it'll just be my downstairs Reiki room being brought to the cabin on 360.
Right.
You know, so spirit reacts to energy work, so we'll see how that goes.
Absolutely.
I was thinking about having a little talk with them before I even started.
You know what? We talk to them every time we go in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yep. Yep. No disrespect, but, you know, it's for a good cause, so... Last time I did my readings, I did it downstairs, so this is going to be a different part. It's going to be interesting to see what happens upstairs.
Did you get anything from the downstairs when you were there?
You know, I didn't, but and part of it was I didn't even think to run a recorder that time because it was just, when I did the readings the last time, it was almost like it was kind of like a last-minute request. So I didn't, those thoughts of even running anything didn't go through my head, but I can tell you that I did bring, when I do readings, I have an egg, and I put my egg in water in a bowl, and I sit it underneath my chair because it sucks up any icky stuff that people have. That's what it's supposed to do. So it was a clear egg. It was a clear egg. I showed it to Ryan. I was like, I want you to see this egg now. So... you know, I put it under my chair, and when I got done with all my readings, I brought it back to him. I said, here's what it looks like after all these readings. That's why you need an egg. And it was like, it didn't even look like an egg anymore.
Have you ever tried that with the flowers?
I haven't. I have not.
Try it with flowers and see if the same thing happens with flowers.
I can do that. I can just... pick some of Jennifer's beautiful flowers before I go over there. but the egg was
okay. Hold on 1 second. I'll be right back. It just started raining.
Ooh.
Oh no! Okay.
Hey. Close windows.
What's one of your places? Interesting places that you've been, Howie.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a loaded question. I've got a lot of them. But, you know, 360 reminds me of how Ryan and I's group got started on where we started our scientific research, which was really exciting. That was 6 years ago. The location is called Bell Nemeth. It's in Powhatan, but that's not the most impactful event that I've ever had. 3 years ago, we helped Bill Freeman, shameless plug, Norristown, Pennsylvania, home of mansion, doing their preserving history through the paranormal program, which they're having their third year this year. And what we did was we had a group of people come in. It was like a small con, but it was more of a party type atmosphere. It was really cool. We had a DJ. We had people doing Reiki. Of course, we were going live from the Riff Radio Network there. And there was different types of vendors. Well, that night was the public ghost hunt. And we had gotten up to 60 people. So we all go away, eat our lunch, dinner, whatever. We all come back. We're all getting ready for it. It was myself and Bill, Sean Anthony, and Ron and Marinette Letic, who are producing this, along with everybody that was at Selma Mansion. Well, Bill Freeman comes out and gets everybody in the stairway before the ghost hunt starts, as everybody does on their locations, and gives them the guidelines, the do's and the don'ts. Well, Kat, I, and Sean Anthony were on the staircase, the main staircase. And hold on 1 second. No. I'll go look. Sorry about that.
Okay.
So we're all on the staircase, and the next thing you know, there's moving around. Oh, okay. You okay?
Yeah.
All right, Bob was looking for you. And we hear moving around on the second floor. And everybody's looking around, and Bob looks at me and Sean and go, "Hey, guys, will you go check out the second floor?" As he's saying that, you could hear two men having a pure, straight-out, clear-as-day conversation. You couldn't hear what they were talking about, but it was one of those multiple conversations where somebody's upstairs, right? They're having a great conversation. So Sean and I look at each other. We go to the second floor. He goes to the third. I go to the second, looking around to see if anybody is there. We go into the performance room. Now, the performance room is our headquarters. It's where all the electronics are set up, the cameras, the live feed, everything to do, you know, during the day and doing that night. Nothing. Nothing was moved. Doors were never shut. I'm looking around. I go to every room. Even the table where they do a special thing to, I'm not going to say her name right. I'm going to let Kat do it for me. the lady there, they do, you know, flowers. Nothing was messed with. Nothing. So I meet Sean Anthony at the top of the staircase. I said, "Do you see anything?" He goes, "Dude, there is nothing." And, of course, on the third floor, there is no furniture anyway. There's only furniture on the second. So there's second floor, clear. Third floor, clear. He looked at me. I looked at him. We came down the staircase. Kat's looking at us. We look down and look at Bill and go, "Nobody's upstairs." And everybody's mouth just dropped. Now, let me remind you, this is 56 people all experiencing the same thing at the same time. That's a mass haunt.
Oh, wow.
That's my golden for so many people to experience paranormal activity at one point in time, at the same place, know what it would take, what it has to take to have that moment. Holy crapola. I was like, "Eureka!" So, you know, that just engaged the rest of the night. So, to me, as a paranormal research and investigator, that, to me, was the mecca. Because
I apply my science into spirituality, and in scientifically speaking, to have that one moment at that time meant that it had to be, everything had to be absolutely perfect. That was
right.
So fun.
That sounds awesome.
It is so incredible. And my wife, everybody knows that at the Cabin at 360 this weekend, your team leads for the ghost hunt will be Kat and I and my mentor, Chris Bellassoon, which some people know him as the paranormal paramedic. So come on out. Enjoy some good times with some good people and for a great cause. The tickets are $40 a piece.
Awesome. It's gonna be a really good event. I'm looking forward to Saturday. And I'm always, you know, when people ask me to come out and do readings and aura work and energy work, it's just such an honor for people to come to me and ask me that.
And,
you know, it really is.
What a great reason to do it too, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Wonderful angel who needs our help. And that's
right.
Another thing Kat and I have always talked about. When we do benefits, when we go to conventions, whatever, it's with a cause. You know, it is, we're there to help. And that's what I really
right.
I created the network, was to give a voice to people and to provide help. I don't take any money to any convention or anything that I go to. I take no money whatsoever. I refuse it.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been going to those?
Stuff like that?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Back in 2013, your director, Ryan and I on the paranormal Virginia. So since 2013, I've been doing lectures and going to conventions. And just talking about paranormal theory, paranormal history, which is something that people don't know about. And this is my
right.
point. Why are you, if you don't know the history, if you don't know how you got to, how things work, why this person is, how this person is, you know, Tesla, Einstein, you know, Cedric, Ryan, all these wonderful people, Edward, these people were hard to do what we're doing now. So that's one of the things I used to lecture about. Then I'd also lecture and throw in there little dit dots, you know, like celebrity paranormal investigators people didn't know about and, you know, the things. And this is the thing I can hit you with. And this is what I'm going to hit people with that are going to be there on Saturday. Can you name me four paranormal researchers of the past? And when I say that, what I mean, I shrinking it down because I used to say parapsychologist and people got all confused on me. From 1970 down, name me four paranormal research. And it's a great, I get a lot of great responses from it. And sometimes people even go, oh, crap. You know, they're like, they get brain stuck, but it's amazing how many people of our past have been a part of the paranormal and spiritual world.
Right. And see, I wouldn't really be able to answer those because, I mean, I've just started out as far as with different teams and investigating back in November. So, because like I said, I've done things like I've been to Yorktown and Duke of Gloucester Street and pre people's private homes. So I'm just now starting to, you know, learn new things and learn also to be a part of a team because I have not been.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
I haven't. So, you know, the people that you're talking about, like the paramedic, I don't know who he is.
Oh, when you meet Chris, you'll never forget him.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain people I don't know who they are. I see them on Facebook, but, you know, there's just certain people I don't know. So I'm just starting to learn that, you know, that part of it. So, Yeah.
You know what's really a good idea?
I would fail your test, Howie. But
don't
I'm
worry,
not ashamed to admit that. You know, I'm not. I'm not ashamed to admit that at all. I would fail that one.
Good. Yeah. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would suggest going to YouTube and looking up equipment tests, paranormal equipment tests, because there's a lot of people that have tested different pieces of paranormal equipment, and they can tell you why some of it doesn't work the way that it's supposed to.
Gotcha.
And that's a great way to get better knowledge of all the equipment.
Yep.
Yeah. I've got a lot to learn about different things.
You can even do your basic research, and you know, Google's filled with information. You can Google paranormal activity of the past and type in paranormal itself. A lot of groups, you know, so you have access for anybody who really wants to learn about what we do and how we do things, and even why we do things.
Yeah, because I've got my little fingers in so many little things right now. Like I'm learning about some parascience stuff, so I've got my plate so full.
That's my favorite, quantum. Oh yes, I love quantum.
I can't wrap my head around certain things when it comes to quantum. So I have had to read, and I know Kimberly's going to laugh at me on this one, but I've had to read this reading stuff about 4 or 5 times to wrap my head around some of what it is, because like I said, I'm so used to doing things on my own. You know, just going to places, not being with a team of people, you know, using me as my, you know, using myself as equipment pretty much, because I didn't know any other ways. So.
Right.
And I'm learning slowly but surely.
Yes.
But I enjoy what I'm doing, and I'm going to explain it. I like using the equipment because it validates what I see in my third eye, if that makes sense. I'll see something or I'll say something, and then it's backed up by an EVP. So that just validates what I have even better.
Oh,
right.
Now you're talking road. Go for it, hon.
No, I was agreeing with that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, validation.
Yeah. Well,
you know?
Yeah, the validation, because sometimes I don't care if people question what I have or not. I'm just in a point in my life, either, you know, you take the message, what I give you, or you don't. I could care less. As long as I pass the message on to you and I don't have to listen to muffled music all night, I'm happy. But doing, you know, getting the EVP, like going to Old House Woods and asking the man that calls me Blondie there all the time, seeing his name in my third eye, but he didn't say anything in my ear when I got home and listened to the EVP. Just as I said, I don't know why the name David keeps coming up. There's the name David in an EVP that I have not posted yet, but I do have it.
Nice.
So that just makes it better to me, because I saw it in my third eye, you know, and I was like, God, this, you know, David, I don't know why this name keeps popping up. And then it just, like I said, the EVP validated that. And I was like, oh, that is so cool.
Yeah.
So that was exciting for me.
It's a good way to help hone your skills too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of my friends told me that I needed to become a part of, you know, a team or a part of a group of people to continue to sharpen my skill. And they're right.
Right.
You know, I was only doing, like I said, private homes, and I would, you know, just go to different historical spots. But it's nice when you're with, like you said, a group of people and you can bounce different ideas off of them. But not only that, if they have the same paranormal experience that you're having, so you're not just by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
You know, because,
I mean, that's,
yeah.
That's why
I mean,
that started my journey was one of the reasons. The historical part, because it's not always about the paranormal. Tat does incredible research, and we have great authors that have linked up with us now. Pamela Kennery and Susan Schwartz, shameless plugs, that, you know, are helping us want to put the show on. So, you know, now that COVID's slowing down and we can get back out, you know, that's why we Paranormal Journey is really one of those close projects to us. And I get to watch Cat work, and that's awesome.
Yeah, that's I mean, that's cool. I've had somebody, I'm supposed to go to a private house in a couple of weeks, and they sent me their address, of course, to get there, and it does have history to it, but I don't want to know what the history is. I want to just go there. You know, I tell people, don't tell me anything. I don't want to know anything before I go to these places. So a lot of times, like when I went to Cold Harbor, believe it or not, I didn't know the history of Cold Harbor. I didn't want to know the history of Cold Harbor before I got there, because I wanted to kind of experience the feeling of what happened to people when I was there and kind of get my flashback of history, because that's what happens when I go to places. It flashes me back in time, and I kind of wanted that experience without, oh, let me go look up stuff, you know, before I go to places. I just, you know, or if I'm doing readings or something on people.
But
I don't,
again, that's a really good reason to have more than one person on your team, so that you can have that ignorance. But then when you come back with, okay, this is what I experienced, you can have somebody there with the actual history to say, again, to verify what you're saying.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To see if it's the same as what the research is.
Yeah.
It's not just
I don't
about,
have that little research person yet. So.
Right.
But that's, you
it's
know.
About, you know, you're having somebody validating on your end, but also while you're out in the field, there's a buddy system. So, you know, the safety factor kicks in there too.
Yeah. Yeah. My friend Desiree says it clouds what you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
And then
right.
Kimberly, she says.
Right. Well, because it's going to vary you in one direction or another instead of you getting it for yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I have a friend, if I ask him to look up something, he'll do it for me. Chris, I met him over the summer last year. And if I say, hey, Chris, can you look up this place for me and just kind of, you know, kind of look up the background history, he would do it for me, I'm sure. You know, but for the most part, I just go. So I'll have to, you know, find me a little research person that likes history.
Right, exactly. When you say, I'm getting this name keeps coming up and I don't know why, you know, if it's historically relevant, you'll have that right off the bat.
Yeah. That's a good idea, because I, like I said, I go to this, I can't name the place because the people are so, she's very protective of her house and the business she has, so it's kind of hard to say anything, but I know that it has a history. I know that it has a history or it wouldn't be where it's at.
Right.
So, you know, I know that much about it, but I don't know much about the actual house itself, the
right.
two houses that I have to go to. So, but Kimberly said that's what she likes about the new equipment, because it validates what we already know as a sensitive. Oh, look, I got my research person. It's Kimberly. Perfect.
There you go.
That works out great. You know,
there you go.
Yeah, me and history never liked each other much. I mean, I like it better now that I'm older, I guess, but when I was growing up, I really did not. I wasn't into the history part of stuff. I hate to say that, but it's the truth.
I completely understand. I wasn't into history when I was growing up either. Actually, it was one of my least favorite subjects, because it was all about war and geography. And, you know, but when you go and you actually visit these places, and it means just so much more.
Yeah.
You find out, that's, you know, about families you've never heard about that were, you know, in their time, really prominent and, you know, high-profile people that are just, you know, they get lost in history. And it's really cool to be able to bring them back.
Yeah, that is really cool. Well, I'm glad Kimberly has decided to volunteer herself to help me.
Yay!
<Yeah. laughs>
But I know that takes a lot of work too, doesn't it, Kat, to look up all the history
of
the different places.
Yeah. There are times that, you know, it can take anywhere from a week to a month to do the history on a property.
Depending
on whether or not you actually have to go out to their library, their public library and stuff to look out information. Because not everything is available online, which sucks.
That's true. I was going to say, how much time, like if you go to a place, how much time do y'all allot each other to, I mean, how long do you allot yourself to be able to look up stuff?
I ask my team for at least a week.
Okay, a week. Okay. Got that, Kimberly? A week.
But it depends on how busy the person that's doing the research is too, like, because it's very time consuming. It's a lot of reading. So I mean, if you've got a full time job and you've got kids at home, and it might actually take you longer than a week.
Okay, so a couple weeks. Yeah, that would be the circumstances. Kids at home. So yeah, we would have to allot that a couple weeks then. But that's good to know.
Right, and you can also hear when she's talking how she started still part of that team. See, she didn't split. She came down here, but she's still part of that team and still works with that team. There's that part of Pearl Unity that many people should, you know, wake up to and understand that we're all in this together. So I just want to make sure that that's how it is, you know.
You're right. I mean, my team, New Jersey Rope, is that's how part of how I originally got interested in paranormal was with them. So when they request a stone grid for me or a crystal grid because they're doing an investigation or they might need help with something, I will help them, you know. And when they have their classes, because they have Zoom meetings once every other week, they actually have classes on, you know, different things, I will hone in on those, you know. So, and they're all the way in Jersey, so I know what you mean by that.
Right, exactly.
If Frank says, you know, I need help with this, I'm right there. You know, I can't get to New Jersey, but whatever I can do to help them, I will. Because
right,
when I first started and everything, they kind of I didn't feel out of place with that team. I felt very welcomed, and I had only met them one time. They came all the way from New Jersey to do an investigation in Gloucester because at the time I didn't know anybody to help, you know, and I met them through a lady that had actually found them and called them out there, and they came out there. So, you know, like I said, I didn't know anybody then. So, and they were nice enough before they left Virginia to go out to the Tappahannock area to help me with the house that I had been working on. And whatever the stuff that was going on in that house was way stronger than what I could handle, because it was huge. And so they were nice enough on their way out to say, okay, we'll stop here too and take care of this for you. And they did, you know, because this particular family, they had not slept in separate rooms in 5 years. Everybody was huddled in one room. That's how scared they were. That's how bad it was.
That's bad.
It was really bad. So, but yeah, it's really cool. So I get what you mean by the pair unity. I know that we're all in it together.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not a competition where we all have the same goal, is to know the truth, to learn the truth. That's a common goal we all have.
Yeah. Yeah. And I still, I mean, I do have a little bit of issues sometimes with the scientific part of stuff. And that's like with what I have, I don't know how, if you feel the same way, but sometimes I don't feel like answering people scientific questions as far as what I have.
No,
does that make sense?
I can get your point. I'm just very open to it, because now I'm to the point that, you know, knowledge is power, and the more that people can understand right or wrong, we're still offering that. And you can still ask the questions. We're opening the door to ask questions. And if nobody asks the question, they're not going to get the answer. So let's give them an answer one way or another, and be open about it. Another thing is, I like to talk. So that wasn't a very good thing to say on my behalf. But, you know, the fact is, I do like to talk. And I do like to share my experiences. So I do like to open that door.
Yeah. I mean, I do to a certain extent, but I don't like when I have, like, people sometimes aren't the point of what I have. You know, like if I'm giving you a message from your loved one, and then I got somebody that comes in behind me and argues that point, I don't have time for that, because that's what I'm doing. I'm there with a message. I'm there to give you a message. I don't charge anybody for it.
That's
lie? Yeah,
that's true.
I know it is.
But it's, you know, the fact that, you know, it's about, okay, first about code of ethics and business, all right? Because you're offering a service, you're providing a service. So and I know this has happened, and it's happened to my friends and family in the past, and we won't even go into that direction. But the fact is, if somebody's giving a reading, that the person or individuals around them that also may be given readings keep their, that's themselves. It's very uncool and going against, again, code of ethics to speak up and say, no, you're wrong. Well, who are you to say you're wrong? You're saying, oh, I'm going to say it, you know. It's the same thing as, I'm a paranormal professional. Okay, whatever.
No.
You know, the fact is, it's not a solid base, and you're getting your readings from wherever you're getting from. They need to respect you when you're doing a reading, and not break that client, you know, the client reader bond between the two of them. And unfortunately, it happens.
It does, you know. Because a lot of times with spirit, I'm just minding my own damn business. You know, I might be out in public, minding my own business. I ain't messing with nobody. I can't help it that that person steps out and says, hey, over here, you know, I can't help that.
Right.
Because I'm not going to listen to muffled music all night if I fail to give the message, and that's what happens.
Well, same thing as the paranormal world on that side.
Yeah.
Hey, one person is right or wrong if they're getting a reading or if they're picking up something, because you have to, not everybody's like me. I got to retract that a little bit. Is you got to apply your science, you got to apply your spirituality and have the understanding of what you're dealing with. And if that is coming through, that's how you are perceiving it, even though you may be going to matrixing or leading, it's up to you to decide, are you being led into a direction or led by, you know, others in that area by what you're being told, seen, and experienced? Are you matrixing? Are you seeing something in the woods that's not even there because your mind is captured, is designed for that? But that, it's the same thing. How can you put out a picture and somebody actually say something about a questionable, no, this is, well, I mean questionable, not
definitive, okay? Let me rephrase that. And draw a red circle around it and go, do you see what I see? No, I don't. Because I'm applying that idea that what you're seeing, your mind could be playing absolute tricks on you. You may not be seeing at all what you think you're seeing. We have to understand and break it down to on the theory of understanding of our mind and what we do. So no paranormal person is wrong. Maybe they're not right. Who knows? Based on the individual and their experience.
Right. I agree with you on that. That makes a lot of sense. But, you know, I guess you're always going to have those debates and the scientific stuff in behind things. Here's Kimberly says, unless you're like me, blessed with a strong sense of discernment, I know bullshit when I smell it.
Yeah. But you know what? Okay. Here's the thing is, oh, I'm really being good.
You don't have to be.
Even though we have a strong intuitive side, maybe people have a strong ESP side, maybe somebody has a strong spiritual side. Again, that's, again, on that person. I mean, yeah, the equipment is there. It verifies, like you two had talked about at the beginning of the show, gives you confirmation. But what else is at play? It kind of goes back to what you asked me about my strongest experience, and I told you everything lined up perfectly to that moment. So I really, you know, I'm going to let people believe what they want to believe. I'm not going to be that person who says you're wrong. Because I used to be that person. I mean, I would fight it tooth and nail and say, you're full of shit. You know, that's not at all what you think. You're misleading yourself. Or somebody's misleading you. Where now I'm just like, okay, cool. You know, if that's how you feel or what you think, then it's on you. All
right? Right.
So, you know, especially for people who put evidence out, you know, if you're going to put evidence up, get ready to be criticized. Because you have three forms of basic thought. That's just how it is.
That's true. That is very true.
I think the biggest misconception in this field is that there is any absolute. There are no absolutes in this field. And that's a huge misconception.
Oh, I wish I had an applause button.
There's your applause button. I just did it for you. I did my fake one. It's all good. That's true. There's a lot of people that do that in that field also.
Yeah, and I'm being strong about holding back. So you have to understand that because this could go down another road that could get really dark, and I'm like, nope, not gonna do it.
Yeah, we won't do that.
Yeah, no, because there are some people out there, and that's all I'll say.
Yeah, boy.
Kat, do you agree with that one?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there are some people out there that really they really test your patience and your tolerance levels. But you know what? That's just them, and nobody's perfect. So you probably test somebody's patience and tolerance levels too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm sure I do. But a lot of people, too, with what I have a fear of the unknown also.
Right.
Or it's scary.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody has their weaknesses and their strengths, and that is why we work better together.
Yeah, yeah. Some people are just scared. And I'm talking about people that don't, you know, that some people that don't do the paranormal work, they're not even into what we do. You know, people in general that I work at.
Oh, right.
You know,
I actually, I was doing research for one of the properties, and I called their local historical society, because you can get some great information from the local historical society. And I explained to her what I was doing, and she wouldn't even talk to me.
Yeah.
She said right out, I have no interest in the paranormal, I don't believe in that stuff, and I don't think you guys should be doing that. And she literally hung up the phone.
Yeah. I've had that happen a few times. Was that
Absolutely.
You, Hallie? Did you say something? Oh,
yeah,
you scared me at first.
Yeah,
I was like, who's coming through on my phone?
He's right. And the other thing is there are, you know, different types of paranormal researchers and investigators. And we have to understand that too. All right.
Yeah.
Especially if we're doing what we're doing. And some people take a solid path. They just do one thing. Some people go, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. And then it's hard for them, hands in the air, when they bring all that knowledge into one, because you go through a ripple effect. And that's part of growth as an investigator, if they've decided to understand the scientific and understand the spiritual and understand the psychological. When you pull that all together, there can be a serious ripple effect, because you have a tendency of one overriding the other. Yet you got to breathe and let it happen. So I encourage people to do that, but it did bind me up for a couple of years, because I'm like, it's all spirituality. Then I was like, all science. Then I was like, it's all neurotic. It's all. I'm like, no. Finally, when you go, no, it's not. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know how the song goes, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a bit of this, a little bit. It's all about that. And we can understand each other when we understand ourselves.
That's true. I agree with you on that. So with the different types of paranormal investigators, can you like elaborate on that just a little bit?
Okay.
just a little bit. I mean.
Okay. Look, we all start out as novelists, right? I'm not even going to use the G word. Okay, let's just throw that out the window for right now. People are going, GH, yeah, ghost hunters, okay? Throw it out the window. Let's say novelist, okay? Novice. Yeah. So we all start there. So what direction do you go from there? Some will go into the scientific side. Some will go to the spiritual side. Some will go into something completely different. Like even cryptozoid, right? Cryptozoology. We all have started at that novice position. Now, there are, like you were asking, the different. Well, you have your researcher, okay, who researches the stuff, who researches into the different types, and there's many types in the paranormal world, different types of science. Then you have the investigator, who's out there investigating, gathering the research, gathering the information, using the equipment, bringing it all to the collective, okay? So that's two primary paranormal individuals. You're a researcher, you're an investigator, and there are a lot of people that are paranormal research investigators. Okay, we have to be an investigator to research, but one person is doing it for this. Now, I'm going to define this for you right now. The researcher, in my opinion, if you will, this is the opinion of the guest, not necessarily of the host of the Vibe Radio Network. Okay. is the researcher is doing it, the research for themselves, to gather information for an occasion or situation. The investigator is completely different. When you look at this, the investigator is usually the one that's going into a location. They're investigating the area. They are going into, some of them are going to get the experience. Well, I like to call it the spiritual experience. Some of them are investigating, again, for their group and
say, hey, guys, this is what we got, blah, blah, blah. And some people are investigating, maybe not for the right reason, okay? That's why you can really split it down. And it can get even split even further, but I'm just giving the basis of so many people use the researcher, so many people investigator. By all means, there's a lot of paranormal research investigators. Of course, Kat's a paranormal investigator. She's a paranormal researcher because she researches and investigates. So, and that's when you look at the picture and understanding, and I'm trying not to go in that direction of pointing fingers and being negative, but there are a lot of people out there just to get, and those are the novice. You know, those people are just getting into it just for the fun. They want to have their experience. They have no intent, the word, of utilizing what they experienced in a research probability. And thank you.
But you're right about that. I mean, I agree with you on that one. You know, I mean, I like doing the paranormal research of things, and I think Kimberly has mentioned this part before, that Old House Woods and like the Cabin on 360 are kind of science labs because there's so many different things that go on there. It's like an open lab, really. There's just so much research to be done.
Well, the world is a huge lab. Do what we need to do. I don't do the research like Kat. So she's strong in that part. And I go to the science and the spiritual. I'm strong in that part. And when it comes to no fear, Kat has no fear. So I... Now, here's the other thing.
He has a fear for both of us.
Right, yeah. Because I went through all that spiritualism and then torn apart and put that together. And then, you know, the science side and then the religious part from my family all played a huge part. So, again, that made it hard for me to get to the point of where I am now. And now I can understand and utilize. And I'm not always perfect. By all God's mean, I'm not. But I have a greater understanding. And it has made walls for me, as Kat was just saying, that now with those spiritual experiences that I've had in the past, now I'm kind of a kitty catish now. I'm kind of skeptical. You know, I'm kind of like, you know, I don't want to do this. You know, I know what
it is.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know now what I've seen. I know what I've experienced. Now I'm going, oh, crap, do I want to put myself back in that position? Now? Hell yeah. There's a reason why. Why do I want to do it? How can I help people with what I know? How can Kat and I help people with what we know and what we can do? How can we train our new team members? Well, this is how, because we have the best of all the worlds in one group. Yeah, so it's made things very interesting for me, and to now watch Kat. I like to call her the Grim. I don't care what anybody says. Kat is a natural Grim. Nothing really wants to mess with Kat. And it's I love watching it when she's researching, her and Kim, because they're like, you know, I'm going to say this. They got balls bigger than most guys. All right? They're steel. They just walk in anywhere, and I'm like, don't go there. You know, my cat senses, my intuition is going, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, I don't give a shit, and walk through. And I respect that, you know, because they don't have those barriers that I have, because now I've got to break a little bit through those barriers and utilize everything. And Kat's there, and Kim's there, and now we've got Britt and Brittany. So, you know, it's a wonderful group. And Brittany being the newest of us all, she has no experience, where Britt has a little bit of experience. So now we're able to balance each other out. So now I'm really to the point of going, yeah, I'm ready to do this again. You know, I got out of the field for a reason. We're not even talk about it, but I had my experiences. Now I'm going, yeah, rock on. So now I get to watch Kat and Kim and everybody else do their thing and going, okay, let's make this happen. Yes.
That's awesome. So So you need to order that shirt from Vanessa Hogel that Dennis has, the My Pair of Balls Are Bigger Than Yours, and get it for Kat.
Yeah, no, right.
I can see you in that shirt, Kat.
Right? It would actually, yeah, it fit me pretty good.
Yeah. She needs that hat. She needs that shirt, Hallie.
Yeah. Yeah. And I find that really cool, too.
Yeah. When Kimberly and I go to Old House Woods, if there's something intuitively that I get kind of nervous about, she's the same way. She'll just walk right to something, and then my intuition's like, no, but she's not afraid of anything. It's a trip.
I think I'm more respectful of the spiritual world now than I ever was. I think that's the best way of saying it. A lot more respect.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree with you on that, because some people don't have respect for spirit world, you know.
A lot of people that do investigations are doing it wrong. I think there's something to do different or do better. So I go with you on that one too.
Yeah, I agree with that, because it's nothing to play around with, and I have seen people play around with that, and it's just not a good thing to do.
Right.
You can get hurt. And it's so funny when people said, I think one time somebody said spirit can't hurt you, and I'm like, yes, they can.
Yeah, they can. But, you know, there's other people – I'm going to go back to Kat again. There's other people that have a natural spiritual defense. And either they're born with it, they're naturally protected. They just, there is, you know, that's just how it is. And I respect those people, you know, because I've seen other people in 20 years go through some pretty rough shit, both spiritually and mentally. So, you know, watching her grow and her spiritualism grow has been really cool. It's been nothing short of amazing what she is naturally gifted with. Oh, that was good. Yes.
Yeah. No, but that's cool, though. I mean, you know, to be able to watch other people grow from stuff is really awesome too. And I know you've seen that a lot with people. I know I see it a lot with some of my clients, that I have, when you're trying to help them on that level too.
Right.
Cause I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You know, people come to you and they ask you, you know, for help with certain things, and, you know, just knowing that you played a part in helping that person grow is huge. And then it just makes you feel good on what you're supposed to do to begin with, if that makes sense.
Right. Yep.
Or am I going off subject on that one? I'm not meaning to.
Fine. I understand exactly what you're saying. And it's true.
Yeah.
It's the ability to help people, because I think through our experiences, we have that ability to have that empathetic side, to understand what they're going through.
Yeah.
So we're able to them and work with them. And I enjoy that now. I really get to enjoy, especially with the younger generation. Sometimes they can be really confused, especially in this time and age we live in, that if you're able to communicate on their level or open them up to see what their pain was that's blocking, or, you know, to help them understand what they're experiencing, man, that's bliss right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I Friday I had ran into a client of mine, and she's about 15 years old. And I can remember when she had first came to me, you know, with her mom for energy work to be done. And I had introduced her to some crystals. You know, she didn't know what they were, you know, so we kind of went through the introductory thing. And, you know, next thing I know, she's making this beautiful jewelry out of crystals. So, not saying that I guess enticed her to make any type of jewelry or not, but just knowing that putting that crystal in that little girl's hand, because at the time she was younger then, and what she's doing now is amazing to me.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things, too, that Kat, that I know I keep going back to her, but, hey, I'm going to give her props. She's on air.
Yeah.
She makes incredible protection jewelry. She's lead, and she makes incredible pieces. So for those people who can work with that kind of stuff, you know, they help us, too, in the long run of the field.
Kat, I didn't know you made protection jewelry.
Oh yeah, it's a hobby. It's a hobby. I don't make it to sell as of yet. I just make it for friends and family for like gifts and stuff.
Well, I guess I'll have to be looking at some stuff. I'm such a jewelry whore when it comes to stuff like that. I can't help it.
Jewelry whore. That's class.
I am. I am. When the little girl came to me on Friday and said, look what I'm making now, and I went on her Instagram page, okay, I about fell out in the floor, because the way she's making it and to the caliber she's doing it, I was just like, oh my God. I mean, beautiful pieces. Like I bead jewelry. I used to custom make stuff for people. If they needed something chakra related, I'd custom make it for them. I stopped doing it. But to see a 15-year-old have their own little business on Instagram, and to how she's doing her jewelry, just amazes me. It really does.
Yeah, that's good to see, you know, children of that age actually inspiring to do such stuff. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yep. But she's just,
well,
it's kind of really
good
cool
to see any kid that age with any ambition at all lately.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. I mean, but it blew my mind when she goes, go to my Instagram page. And I'm like, huh? Instagram page? And she goes, yeah, you know, Facebook is for older people. So I'm on a younger platform.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's what
that's
she
funny
said. She said Facebook. She said, Miss Jerry, I'm not even on Facebook. She said, it's for older people. She said, I'm using the younger platform. Go to Instagram. And I'm like, oh. Okay.
That doesn't make you feel old at all.
I know, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, she did not go there. But hey, she was honest about it, and that's not the first time I've heard that. So,
right.
You know. Yeah. But Kat, yeah, maybe you should, you know, like start making stuff.
Yeah. Once I get a little more settled, things with COVID-19 and it's been nuts.
Oh yeah, it's been nuts for I think a lot of people, and I just hope that I just wish things would go back to normal, but I don't know.
I don't know if they'll ever go back to the way they were.
Yeah, I don't think so either. You know, right now we're still trying to get adjusted to the school part, which starts Monday. So, well, can y'all talk a little bit about your show times, because before we get ready to get off the air, we got a few minutes left, but you guys have so much going on. I try to keep up with everything, and I have a hard time doing it. I know that you have your show on Sunday, but can you go into more detail on what y'all are doing?
Sure. Kat, you want me to do this or?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
You're all about promotion.
Yeah, I am. So we are found on the Riff Radio Podcast Network on Blog Talk Radio, same as the Vibe.
Sunday nights actually starts our Sunday night at 7, from 7 to 8, as Christina Spencer with the Haunted Tales from the Old Rocking Chair. This is a very unique show. She uploads stories weekly. It's kind of like e-booking, but, you know, she's reading these new stories and giving you this experience, and she's taken a step further by adding the human experience, by adding sounds, and you can hear Christina rocking in her real rocking chair as she reads these stories. She makes it so in your face and draws you in. And then at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we come on air, the Orion Effect, right there on our network, with Kim and Kat and myself, the Hitman. It's a two-hour show, and the show is, again, based on everything of the human experience, from spirituality all the way to the simplicities of human experience. That's why we have the variety, if you will, of our guests, such as we have tone therapist and author Marcy Krish coming on Sunday night with us, and she works with tones and healing the body with certain tones. We've had Melody Nardone on, who does the same thing. So we have a variety of different people. And then we just have shows all the way up to Thursday. And in fact, we have a new announcement, and we can do it right here if you want. I'll be more into it.
Sure.
Okay, well, here's the big from the Riff Radio Podcast Network, starting next month, for those who used to be fans of Just Short of Crazy, it's coming back on air with its original host, Renee Odell Hurt, and stepping into the place of our wonderful lost sister, Lisa Renaga, is the wonderful Athena Bulch. We are so excited to have Athena on the network. They will be airing on Fridays. So we're excited about that. That show is just like it says, Just Short of Crazy. Tuesday nights are exciting. Monday nights with the co-founder of the network, Sheila Gay, with Kirby Dupree, of course, Road Talk Radio. Tuesday nights is Jeff and Shelley Presley with Bridging the Gaps, where they have help you with your spiritual growth as in direction they can. Wednesdays are very unique because that's two new shows there himself. At 8 o'clock p.m. for 1 hour, we have Dr. Mary Barrett, Evenings with Dr. Mary Barrett. And then at 10 o'clock to 11, we have the wonderful Sister Scarlett and her comorbidity. Oh, I said it! Oh, that's awesome, because I hate that word. But it's true. Ask Kat. That word drove me nuts for days. But she talks about the darker side of man. She talks about serial killers and dark magic and the different things that the evil that men do, which is really a cool concept show. And then right now we end the week up with Jody Nettles and Teresa Sayers, on Crossroads Radio. That's at 9 p.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. Thursday nights. And they, again, that's another paranormal show that they cross the roads of the paranormal and the supernatural. And everything comes together in the middle. There you go.
Oh, that's going to be fun. I'll be on their show this Thursday.
Fun! Those girls are hoot. And get ready for that bomb, yeah. People. It's our radar.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we got, and the Freaks come on Sunday at 8 before your show too, right?
Yes, actually, Sundays has turned into what we call the Supernatural Sunday. Now, look, I'm going to say this. When I started into doing podcasting, there was maybe two or three shows. I started out on the URN Network, on the Mothership, and then, you know, that changed, and I went and did another show with another wonderful lady, and then I created The Riff. At that time when I created The Riff Radio, there wasn't anybody doing Facebook Live. okay? There was hardly any podcasts. It was perfect. Now it's the network and the podcasters saturated. But Blog Talk is the only one that actually still does live. And now with Sundays, we've gotten together, of course, with Midwest Paranormal and with the Vibe Network to create Supernatural Sunday, which starts with Christine Spencer. And then after Christine Spencer, directly after, is the freaking awesome show with Ryan and Ange. And then right after them, we go on air. And then ending the night is Jason Bland and the crew over at Paranormal City. So your Sundays, we got you covered. Even though there's different lives and all that kind of stuff going on, we've huddled up. We are your supernatural. You can hear every different type of show, every different type of host, everything. Sunday night.
Yeah.
Every Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That's an awesome lineup there.
yep. And I encourage everybody to go to the Cabin 360 this weekend. Help out for a great cause. Help out this wonderful angel that needs your help. Tickets, again, are $40. Yeah. You can investigate with Tad and myself and our team, and you can meet Chris Bellassoon, the paranormal medic, paramedic, and he'll be taking the other team. Dennis and Ryan, I know, will be on site and meet a slew of different types of investigators. Come on out. It's only $40. Your $40 is going directly to help Sawyer. That's 100%. So come on out.
Yep. Yep, and we will be out there. Well, I know that we are almost out of time, but I really, really appreciate y'all coming on Vibe Time with Jerry. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule.
Oh, you're absolutely
Thank you very much for having us on.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I look forward to y'all's show on Sunday, too. Like I said, I try to stay up for the lineup. As soon as I get adjusted to getting up at 5:30 and being required to go somewhere, when I get adjusted to those times, I'll be able to stay up later.
To help your show too, let's remind all everybody who's tuning in and listening either on Blog Talk Radio or watching on Facebook Live that every show is archived. You can go right back to the Facebook fan page, or you can go to Blog Talk and you can re-listen to the show anytime. Or check out Spotify with the Riff Podcast Network. And now, as of today, we are now officially on Audioburst, so you can pick up your cell phone at any time, pick up any episode, and check out the last 4 years. We encourage you to do so.
Okay.
Same thing with the Vibe.
That's awesome. Well, the Blog Talk chick is about to kick us off. So, again, I appreciate y'all coming on.
It's been a
thank
blast.
You
so thank
much.
You so much for having us. It's been fun.
Thanks. All righty. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Have a good night.
Bye. You too.